We present the news quiz, and here's the chairman, Barry Norman.
Well, thank you, and welcome to the news quiz, or if you prefer, keep taking the tabloids. What it amounts to is this. I shall be asking questions about people, events and places in the news this week, and the panel will provide the answers. At least I hope they'll provide the answers, because if they don't, we're in for a very short programme. Anyway, on our panel tonight, we have Mr. Richard Ingrams, TV critic of The Spectator, and as editor of Private Eye, the scourge of the establishment. Alongside him, we have the scourge of practically everybody else, the columnist of the Daily Mail, Mr. Nigel Dempster. And with him, we have the film critic of The Observer, Mr. Russell Davies, and beside him, the deputy editor of Punch, Mr. Alan Coren. To start with, here are some fairly straightforward questions about some events that have happened in the last 7 days. I'll award 2 points for each correct answer, and if the person of whom it is asked doesn't know it, I will throw it open to anybody else, who can then collect 2 bonus points for himself. So I'll start with Richard Ingrams. I'd like you, Richard, if you would, to listen to the mellifluous voice of John Marsh and tell me what is...
The biggest case of highway robbery since Dick Turpin terminated his ignominious career.
That's probably a politician talking about the budget, is it?
That's close enough. Actually, it's the budget as seen by the chairman of the RAC.
Good enough, yes.
Good enough, yes. Two marks. Nigel Dempster, who has a car with the number ADO88, and why isn't it going anywhere?
Good God. I've been training as Britain's first astronaut for the last week, and we've been in a ADO88. It's clearly Margaret Thatcher, I mean.
Yes, a lady. And she's not going anywhere, as we all know. These are lies. These are lies that have been printed about her winning elections. Clearly press propaganda.
That's a very beautiful answer, but unfortunately it's wrong. Does anybody else know? ADO 88, and it's not going anywhere. Alan Coren.
I think it's the first number of the new Mini, which isn't going to come off the Leyland Assembly line.
Oh, a big hand, please, for Mr. Alan Coren. Very good. You've been reading the papers. Haven't you anything better to do?
I've been ordering minis. I've been told there's only a 14-year waiting list for a Cortina, and I shall go for that instead.
On now, then, to Di Davis. Di, where was one foot uncomfortable while another was standing?
I was thinking the ring at Wembley with John H. Tracy, but failing that, Stetchford. Am I right? Paul Foote.
Doing well.
40,
doing well.
The socialist worker candidate. And the oldest candidate in the race, according to one of the papers, was standing, and Mr. Foote came down to support the Labour candidate who lost.
Indeed, it was at Birmingham Stetchford, where Michael Foote's nephew, Paul Foote, was standing against the Labour Party as candidate for the Socialist Workers' Party. And he got, as you know, 377 votes and lost his deposit. So I don't suppose Uncle Mike was all that bothered, except in a perhaps avuncular way.
He'd be asking for his job back on Private Eye.
Will you give it to him?
Yes.
Won't make his deposit.
Well, there you are, Paul Foote. All is not lost. Alan Coren, who stood near the smoke that thunders and said,
ah,
and then said,
ah,
again?
You did that very nicely. The smoke that thunders is the only thing that I can... I think it's Niagara, the smoke that thunders, isn't it? Isn't it the Arapaho word, or possibly the Pawnee word for that? The smoke that thunders is a translation of an Indian term for something else.
Russell Davies, Di Davies.
It's the Queen running away from a native dance in Papua New Guinea very fast.
No, I'll tell you the answer. It's President Podgorny of the USSR on his recent trip to Zambia when he looked at Rhodesia across the Victoria Falls and said, ah, twice.
We're not giving half a point for four.
I think he should not give
half a point for four. Well, hang on. Yeah, half a point for fourth. Half a point, Dennis McCorran, for fourth. Those were the President's only recorded remarks, and I should think they will make the shortest recorded entry in the Oxford Dictionary of Quotations. Well, now we come to a roundabout people, people of whom some rather waspish comments have been made in the news this week. 2 points again for identifying the victim. First, for you, Richard Ingrams, who does this refer to?
He's been given just one glimpse of the black underwear of power, and he's not been able to take a grip on himself. He needs to take a few cold baths.
It's not Nigel Dempster.
No. The black underwear. Again, it's sufficiently bad, I think, to be a politician. And it sounds to me someone attacking someone in the Liberal Party. Possibly John Pardew, who's been on the television again a lot.
Yes,
right?
You're doing rather well. Yes, yes, yes. It was.
But
indeed.
I don't know who made the attack.
Well, it wasn't a politician. It was a fellow scribe, one Frank Johnson, in Thursday's Daily Telegraph.
Ah,
and he was indeed talking about John Pardew. 2 marks for Richard Ingrams.
I should come to John Pardew's defence because I was at school with him and he never wore black underwear.
But he may have seen yours.
Well, this is...
Was he also expelled?
We'll draw a veil over.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Please, let us get on. Nigel Dempster, who is the connection between this sort of thing...
Yike! I've been tricked! Here comes Porky Brown! Snarl. Make a fool of me, would you? Boo!
And this sort of thing.
Transition from the first to the second stage shall be conditional upon a confirmatory statement to the effect that the essence of the objectives laid down in the treaty for the first stage has in fact been achieved and that all obligations have been observed.
It's quite obvious who this is. Quite obvious. It's George Thompson, who was the EC commissioner, who's now Lord Thompson, who used to be, well, the Nigel Dempster of Dandy, famous magazine that I used to take as a child.
You're absolutely right,
that's
Nigel.
Absolutely brilliant.
Absolutely right.
His greatest invention was Corky the Cat, spelt with two Ks.
Really?
Yes, and this is obviously the sort of man that should be in charge of our welfare. And
he's in the House of Lords now, I presume.
In the House of Lords.
With everyone else.
With Lord Kagan,
yes,
and Lady Falkland.
Well, we don't want to drag them.
Well, indeed. Indeed, that was reported in the Times Diary on Wednesday, just before he took his seat in the House of Lords, along with Lord Snooty and his pals. Now then, Di Davis, who was described this week as...
A man whom I tend to confuse with Robin Ray. He comes across as quite a nice young man who would make a rather reassuring dental assistant.
A rather reassuring dental assistant. Large fluorescent teeth. Who on earth would that be? It's not Andy Williams, is it? No, it's not.
Could be, but it isn't
at the moment. Who did he remind the person of?
Robin Ray.
Robin Ray. Music and teeth. It's Heath. It's Heath. It's got to be Edward Heath. But
no, it's a nice guess, but it's wrong again.
It isn't David Steele, is it?
Yes, it is.
It is.
It is David
Steele.
I'm surprised you didn't get this immediately, Richard, because it was David Steele as lampooned by Peter Cook in his Monday
That's
column
right.
in the Daily Mail.
I knew I'd seen it. Good old Cook.
We'll give him a couple of bonus points anyway, Francis. Alan Coren, of whom has this been said?
Some pella people think Quinn got plenty money. Triple a big pella house, no mass work.
Of course,
Mr. McMillan
do that again. Only because it was lovely. I was listening to the mellifluous oriental, semi-oriental stuff. It's somebody in Melanesia or the Solomon Islands or Guadalcanal or that way.
Well, which?
She's been to so many places, I don't know. It's like victory at sea, trying to follow the Queen.
Well, first of all, Alan, let's take it bit by bit.
The Queen landing on Iwo Jima.
That's exactly. It was said, indeed, of Big Fella Quinn in a Papua paper during the state visit there. Oh. And also, apparently, she was reported to be charmed by the descriptions in the local Pidgin English of a calf as a piccaninny belong Big Mukau, and drunk, which in Papuan comes out as long, long, long whiskey. What are the scores, Francis, at this stage? Well, the position is this. Richard Ingrams has 8 points, Nigel Dempster has 9, Di Davies has 5, and Alan Coren is leaping ahead with 11.5.
Right. Good. Very nice. Yeah. To mature tomatoes would do it, you know. Mm.
Di, you had 5 at the end of the last round. What happened?
I only read the Thetford and Wotton Chronicle, and none of it.
Well, perhaps you'll catch up on this. This is a musical round. I'm going to play you each a piece of music which is directly or obliquely connected with something that's happened this week. I'll give you 1 point for identifying it and another for answering a question about it. Richard Ingrams, who doesn't know what this is?
I don't.
That's not the right answer. You're not getting a point for that.
Is it Edward Heath conducting the orchestra very badly?
It might have been, but isn't. Alan Coren.
The bloke who doesn't know is Noel Annan. That's, in fact, the Jimmy Young signature rubbish.
Absolutely
and
right.
Noel Annan's in.
See, that shows me to be a man of distinction, you see.
It obviously shows you to be a man who's qualified to look into broadcasting, doesn't it? Nigel Dempster, where would you have had to go this week and when to hear this melody?
I realise now that I'm here under false pretences, and I didn't admit that I was tone deaf when I signed up for this. That is Edward Heath, of course, conducting the triumphal march of the socialist candidate into no, not at all.
Alan Coren.
Yes, it is the theme music of Peyton Place, which has been spooling out again in fearful Yorkshire, where Paul Fox is doing an experiment into early indigestion by putting on breakfast time television. And it's all those terrible old people from Connecticut who are going through their routines again, isn't it?
I'm getting thoroughly bored with saying this, but Alan Coren is quite right yet again.
Yeah.
It is indeed the signature tune from the continuing, or as I like to think of it, the interminable story of Peyton Place.
I'd rather like to ask
Television have been putting it out at breakfast time.
I
think Alan ought to be able to tell us in 30 seconds what actually happened in Peyton Place.
it doesn't take 30 seconds.
It does.
It turns out to be a very down-market programme, we're pleased to say this.
Did they get married and live happily ever after?
No, the very old man carries on getting very, very old and actually outlives them all. It's horrible. He is then the only person left in Peyton Place and all the others are divorced.
So there's now no point in going up to Yorkshire to watch the continuing story.
No, we know
the answer. Right, Di Davis, here's your piece of music. Now, why might that be the sound of somebody blowing out candles? It doesn't sound remotely like anybody's blowing out candles, but why might it be the sound of somebody blowing out candles?
Wasn't Don Revy pirouetting onto the field to celebrate his third anniversary as England's manager, was it? No, I should have thought it was probably Sir William Walton celebrating what I believe to be his 75th birthday, and that was probably a bit of his facade.
Absolutely correct, yes. Perfectly correct.
I knew that too, actually.
Well, you should have said. Alan Coren, for you. Now, we know that's the Beatles, but what have the numbers 5, 150, and 827,850,000 got to do with that?
I think it's got something to do with Beethoven's birthday. That was Beethoven's 150th. He was 5 last week. Something like that.
Totally correct so far. Your figures are a little different.
8,000 million. That's the age of the universe.
No.
The golden disc
has just been reassessed.
You haven't even been listening, have you? It wasn't 8,000 million. It's 827,850,000. Di Davis.
That's the population of China, isn't it? 827. 827 million is the population of China.
Yes. And to the nearest 10 million or so. Yes.
Been rehabilitated.
Absolutely
brilliant.
As an accepted chap after being condemned as a bourgeois something or other for donkey's years.
That's absolutely true. The music we heard, of course, was Beethoven's 150th symphony, as Alan Coren said, on the occasion of Beethoven's 5th anniversary. And the population of China is 827,850,000, and it was indeed in China this week. where, to coincide with the anniversary, Beethoven was removed from the blacklist of bourgeois composers.
Very good. No.
You're doing so badly, Di, I'll give you another bonus point.
Oh, thank you, Barry. Thank you, Barry.
Actually, at this point, you're doing rather better than Richard. Richard Ingram's got 8, Nigel Dempster's got 9, Di Davis, thanks to my generosity, has now got 9, and Alan Coren is ludicrously, obscenely ahead with 16.5 points.
Oh. Oh. Less. Swat. Resign. Swat. Resign.
And now we come to our mystery guest. Good evening, mystery guest.
Good evening.
Well, the object tonight is for you, the panel, to discover where our mystery guest comes from and why he has cause to celebrate this week. Now, his answers, as you'll discover, will be on the monosyllabic side. But never fear, if you seem to be struggling, I might just be prevailed upon to throw the odd clue your way. 5 points, then, to whoever guesses the guest's country of origin and the reason for his celebration. And for you at home, here is his identity.
And the mystery guest is Ralph Baskerville, leader of the opposition in the Guardian's imaginary islands of Sans Serif, an April Fool hoax.
Richard Ingrams.
Well, are you one of us? Are you British?
No. Oh.
I think we should come to the point immediately. Are you Lord Lucan?
He obviously is a foreigner. No.
No, he's not Lord Lucas.
He's clearly a foreigner.
He was a foreigner.
He had to seek advice as to who this man
you
was.
You wasted your friendship.
Di Davis.
Should we think of you as a cultural rather than political person?
I would not have said that, no.
Alan Coren.
I want to recap on that answer. I mean, he is not cultural, he is political, or he's neither. Or...
Well, he said it funny anyway.
Are you here, since this is broadcasting, are you here to promote something, as it were, a book or a mistress or a film? Are you Barry's publisher?
I am here, in a sense, to promote a country.
Yes.
A country which is at present in the news.
Do you come from Luxembourg? if you did come from Luxembourg, you would be pleased at having only lost 5-0.
That is not a question, I think.
It's definitely the man who we all should welcome to this country on June the 2nd for the Jubilee celebrations, President Amin.
It's paled beneath his tan, you mean? No, it isn't.
It must be. Is it Sherpa Tenzing?
No.
Well, it is my turn now.
Go on, come
yes,
on.
It is.
If I said the word sans serif, would they mean anything?
That is indeed my country.
You work for the fearful Groniad?
No, I do not work for the Groniad.
I mean,
I think I'll have to stop you now, Alan. Damn you, you've gone and guessed it again. He is indeed from the country of Sans Serif. And Sans Serif, as some of you will know, was featured in 7 pages of The Guardian this morning, and it doesn't exist.
Rather like the other 6
April
pages
Fool's
of
joke.
The Guardian.
I'll ignore that. And our guest here is, in fact, the leader of the opposition in Sans Serif. His name is Ralph Baskerville, and he's 89 years old. Now that Alan Coren has gone and spoiled the game, Mr. Guest, would you like to tell everybody who you really are?
Geoffrey McGiven. How do you do?
Hello.
I think the 54.5 million people in this country who don't get The Guardian should have seen this marvellous picture of him with a blanket round him, and it said, "The leader of the opposition going into Parliament House." It was a bit of a crib, because that's just how Margaret Thatcher looks most afternoons.
So now we come to an open round, just to add a frisson of excitement to the closing stages of our game. Open to anybody? Fingers on the buzzers, please. Now then, first question. Where, all last week, could you have seen several white nuns, some pink giants, and a ballerina? Nigel Dempster.
My office. I was auditioning for a secretary.
He was suffering from a hangover again.
No, that's not the right answer.
Well, I'm not a balletomain, but was it Sleeping Beauty at...
No, that's not the right answer either.
We must get one before Corin gets it.
Yes. It's disgraceful.
He's simmering. Steam is coming out of his ears.
I know.
Several white nuns, some pink giants, and a ballerina. Corin is simmering, as everybody else says, yes. I think if he doesn't get this right, I'll take some marks away from him.
A lot.
Oh, well, you're obviously not going to get it.
Are they sorts of drink?
No, alas, no, they're not. No, right. As a matter of fact, they're flowers. And you could have seen them at the Royal Horticultural Society show at the New Hall, Westminster.
I'm glad Corin didn't get it anyway.
Nobody got any points for that. God. What now are the precautions taken by the Vicar of Christchurch, Lancaster Gate? Nobody? Not a guess?
Well, he probably sort of does his sermons in a crash helmet because there's masonry falling around or something like that, you know?
That's inspired, Nigel. That's absolutely inspired. He does indeed wear a crash helmet while delivering his sermons. And the reason he wears his crash helmet is that the church has been declared a dangerous structure, and he fears that things may fall on him from above.
Gee, he can
including
make up a story and it's true. That's the great genius of a great journalist.
Now, you had read that, Nigel, hadn't you? You were just shy to tell me.
No, I
made it up, and it was true. That's what he does all the time.
I haven't read a paper all week.
What's this man on about, and why?
Well, now I like all puddings, particularly ones I haven't tried before very often, but I suppose orange boodle fool is a very great standby. And in my home, we're very, very good on Queen's pudding. I'm fond of almost every sort of pudding. I like roly-poly puddings, suet puddings, and treacle puddings I'm fond of.
Anybody?
It's one of Corin's colleagues. It's a cheating question.
One of his younger colleagues.
It's the obese thespian, Mr. Robert Morley, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I'm not entirely sure that Robert Morley would like to be described as obese. Well built is perhaps more.
Yeah, I think he's a practicing thespian.
Well, thespian, certainly thespian. Well, maybe thespian. Now then, I'll give you a point for that, but what was he doing?
He was making himself even more obese. Eating all these puddings.
Any more nasty remarks like that, and I'll take your point away. What actually was he doing? Does anybody know?
He certainly wasn't commenting on the lunch at Punch.
No, he was
probably plugging a
pudding
book.
Year.
He's plugging his book.
It must be something to do with the Silver Jubilee. They're giving away several million silver puddings. It's Josiah Wedgwood pudding set. It's got to be something to do with the Jubilee.
Yes. Well, they're launching British puddings into space.
It gives me great pleasure to deny you all a point for that. I will give Richard Ingram's one for guessing that it was Robert Morley. And he was acting as the great English pudding taster on behalf of the English Tourist Board's campaign, A Taste of England, to promote more English dishes in restaurants. And he did all that on Tuesday at the Fishmongers Hall in London. Why would it have been somewhat pointless to write to people who live in Enfield last week?
Is it because their MP is Reginald Maudling?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
It's just that on the day of the budget, I saw Reggie drinking champagne and eating well. Doesn't go to the...
What's that got to do with the people of Enfield? Why is it pointless to write to the people who live in Enfield last week? You're waffling again, Dempster.
Because the postmen are on strike, aren't they?
Ah, well, no, that's not exactly the answer I wanted. No, it isn't, no. Anybody else like to give me an answer? You're getting close. You're getting warm.
So all the letterboxes are being bricked up.
I think the last literate man in Enfield died.
Yeah. I just hope you don't go to Enfield too soon, Alan. No, the answer is that Ian Church, who was a 19-year-old postman, decided he didn't want to deliver his mail in the rain, so he took all the letters home and burned them. And he was fined £150 and ordered to pay £90 costs at Tottenham on Monday. I should think, actually, people in Enfield were probably quite glad not to get their income tax bills and all that. No points for that, for anybody, nobody, no. Now, what was a mechanic doing with a postman, a council worker, a teacher, a garage clerk and four steel workers on Wednesday night? I don't want any disgusting answers.
I think this is the Annan Committee again. Returning to deliberate on some major television topic.
Could we have the composition again?
Of course. A mechanic, a postman, a council worker, a teacher, a garage clerk and four steel workers.
Yes, this is the football match. This is the England team to meet Luxembourg. Or possibly vice versa.
I think I like your first answer so much better, I'll give you 3 points for that. It was, in fact, the Luxembourg team, but it couldn't have been the English team because it didn't mention any plumbers. Well, that's what we've discovered in this week's papers, and now I'm going to throw the ball into the panel's court and ask them what they've discovered in this week's papers. Richard Ingram.
Well, I have, as David Frost used to say, I've just been sent a cutting from the Edinburgh Evening News, which says that during her 20-minute tour, the princess spoke to a plaque commemorating 65-year-old Mr. Jack Dornan of Albert Street.
Well, I find that it's becoming extremely difficult to feed oneself with the cost of living going up it is, and the Putney Roehampton Herald tells us that the result of a prosecution of a man who waded into Barnes Pond and still flees from the surface of the water was a £1 fine. Not even nutritious, I'm told.
Di Davis.
Well, there was nothing in the Thetford and Watton Chronicle, so I had to read Time Out. I found a small ad which I'd advise readers not to reply to. It says, roll up, special offer, sod all, yours for only £1.
And in these days of inflation, cheap at the price.
Yes.
Alan Corrin.
I have one from the Sheffield Morning Telegraph. It says, on the first visit, said Mr. Hodgkinson, they found the family pet, a ginger cat, sitting on a work surface among uncooked fish and meat pies. When Mrs. Allen was told it constituted an offence under the food hygiene regulations, she threw the cat out of the window. Would you like one from the Luton Evening Post?
Oh, please, please.
Because it beggars everything, including description. Great Dane enthusiasts are worried about the image of the breed. One said, it would be tragic if Great Danes became associated with pornography in the mind of the public.
They write a lot of that, do they? Gentlemen, thank you. That brings us to the end of this quiz on the news. And now, here are the main points again. Richard Ingram's 9, Nigel Dempster 9, Russell Davies 12, and Alan Corrin 21.5. Sorry. Congratulations, then, to Alan Corrin, who is the winner of this week's Star Prize, a second-hand copy of yesterday's Morning Star. Till next week, keep taking the tabloids. Goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corrin, Russell Davies, Nigel Dempster and Richard Ingrams. The chairman was Barry Norman, and the programme was devised and produced by John Lloyd and Danny Greenstone.